Okay, welcome back to 5 Minute Mishnayos to our final recording, our final shiur for Seder Moed. We went a little bit out of order, and so Irvin is our last Masechta of all of Seder Moed. And after we complete the two Mishnayos today, God willing, that will be our Siyum on the entire Seder. And next time we meet, we'll be starting, God willing, Seder Nashim Bezras Hashem Yisbarach. But for now, again, we're up to Perek Yud, Mishnah Yadalad, Chapter 10, Mishnah 14. So we were speaking about various things that are permissible in the Beis HaMikdash, but us are everywhere else, because the rabbi said, if you need to do it in the Beis HaMikdash, you do it in the Beis HaMikdash, because it's an obligation to take care of other needs. But outside, the rabbi said, no, it's us for other various reasons, or other various concerns. So let's see a few more examples, a few more cases like this. So Mishnah Yadalad, Kohen Shalaka Be'etzba'u Korei Chalav Gemi B'Mikdash. If you have a Kohen who has a wound on his finger, so he's allowed to wrap like a reed around his finger, around this wound in the Beis HaMikdash. Avalo Bamedina, but he can't do this in the rest of the country. Why? Well, because when you wrap the reed around the wound on Shabbos, it's clearly going to help heal the wound, and this is going to be basically Nisar Darabanan of Rafua, Nisar Darabanan, a rabbinic prohibition of helping the wound heal. But nonetheless, when it comes to serving the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen who has like an unsightly, like an ugly looking wound or some sort of distracting wound on his hand, he needs to cover it up. Because it's not proper for the Kohen to do the avoda with it, so he needs to cover it up. So the rabbis say, fine, you can cover it up in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it looks like Rafu, or it is kind of Rafu a little bit. It's only in Nisar Darabanan, so we say it's okay. You can cover it up in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's prohibited to cover it up with the reed. Im lohotzi dam kan v'kan aser. But if he ties the reed tightly around his finger, tightly around this wound, because he's trying to draw blood from it, well, then that's an Isser D'Oraisa, and because he can't draw blood on Shabbos, and therefore, if he's doing it to draw blood, then it's going to be prohibited both in the Beis HaMikdash and everywhere else outside of the Beis HaMikdash as well. Second case, Boaz ken melach al gabe kevesh b'shvil shelo yachliku. A person is allowed to take some salt and crush it up and scatter it all over the ramp that leads up to the altar. And why would you do this? Because just like we do it when it snows, right? So we want to make sure that someone doesn't slip, right? You spread sand all over the place, so it's the same idea. You spread salt all over the place, so you can crush the salt and scatter it all over the ramp that leads up to the Mizbeach, so the Kohanim won't slip. And so specifically we're talking about salt that was already crushed but just got reclumped, so that you're allowed to crush up. Well, why is specifically that case? Because if it was never crushed, then it would be a Nisar D'Oraisa of Tochin, but since we say in Tochin Achar Tochin, there's no prohibition to recrush it, so you're allowed to crush the salt and spread it all over the ramp that leads up to the Mizbeach, so the Kohanim don't slip. So this is permissible in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's usur everywhere else because it looks like a bonus. So we say it's permitted in the Beis HaMikdash again, but usur everywhere else. And finally, the third case of the Mishnah is an interesting case of drawing water from a well with some sort of a kli, with like a wheel, which basically what this does is that it makes it easy to draw the water out. A little too easy, and you'll see why in a second. Umimalim mibor ha-gova, umibor ha-gadol ba-galgal, umibor ha-gadol ba-galgal ba-shabbos. We can draw water with a bucket that's tied to a wheel from the bor ha-gola and from the bor ha-gadol, two different types of wells. We can draw from with a bucket that's tied to a wheel. We can draw water of these wells on Shabbos, and these are wells that are specifically located in the Beis HaMikdash, so we say that's permissible. However, the rabbis say you can't do a draw with a wheel outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? So the Mishnah doesn't say, but the Mefarshim explain that there's a concern that it's going to be a little too easy, and if it's too easy, then you may come to draw some water out and water some plants in the garden. So therefore, they say you can't do it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but it seems like, as well, this is only talking specifically about a case where you have a well that's near a garden. If you have a well in the middle of the desert, that's no concern of watering your plants, so you could even take the water out with a wheel out of those wells as well. And then finally, Mibe'er Haker B'Yom Tov. There's another well called the Be'er Haker. It's literally the well of the source. So you can draw water with a bucket tied to a wheel from the well of the source, from the special well, on Yontif, meaning not just Shabbos, but on Yontif as well. Or I guess, no, specifically on Yontif, and maybe not Shabbos. And even though this well was not in the Beis HaMikdash, why is that? Well, because this was allowed from the times of the Nevi'im already, because this was a well that people used when they were coming up to make Aliyah L'Regel, and therefore they needed the water from their journey, so the Nevi'im said this was okay, so therefore this it was sort of got grandfathered in, so you're allowed to draw from this well on Yontif, even though it's a little easy, and even though it's not in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that was Mishnah Yudalid. Mishnah Tesvav, the 15th Mishnah, and the final Mishnah of Maseches Erevin, and for us, the final Mishnah of Maseches of a Seder Moed. So we're dealing with the case over here of a sheretz. When you have a dead sheretz, so the sheretz is like one of those like creepy, crawly creatures that we have listed in Sefer Vayikra, and these are things that are tamei when they are dead. So sheretz shenimsa b'mikdash kohen motzio behem yano. So if you have a dead sheretz that's found in the Beis HaMikdash, so a kohen can take it out with his belt on Shabbos. So you have two prohibitions over here. One is you have the prohibition of muktzah. The sheretz is muktzah, so taking it on Shabbos is going to be an issue. But we see in the Beis HaMikdash, the rabbis did not make an issue of muktzah because you need to get it out of the Beis HaMikdash. You can't have it there. So they say, don't worry about the muktzah. Don't worry about in the Beis HaMikdash, and also you have the prohibition of making something tummy. Specifically, it's not just a belt, not like a nice belt that holds up your pants, but no, it's specifically the belt of the Kohen, which is part of the big day kahuna. So they say, the first opinion over here says you can take off the belt of the Kohen and use that to remove the sheretz. Shelo l'shahus es ha-toma. Why? Because we don't want the toma to hang around the Beis HaMikdash longer than necessary. So we say, don't get something that you're not concerned about making tummy. Just use the belt, and it is what it is. It'll become tummy. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Rabbi Yehuda says no. B'tzvas shel eitz. You should go and you should find some wooden tongs, specifically tongs that don't have like any sort of a cavity in them that means it would be liable to tumah. So get wooden tongs that can become tameh and use them to pick up the sheretz and not the belt. So you say, how come Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka doesn't hold to that? Well, the understanding is because when the Kohen sees the sheretz, he should just go pick it up with his belt. He's not walking around with some tongs. If he had something that was like wooden tongs that wouldn't become tummy, he should obviously use those, but if he has no other options, he shouldn't take the time and go search for them. But Rabbi Yehuda says no, b'tzvas shel eitz, you should go around and try to find the wooden tongs, even if you have to go out of your way to go find them, even though it means the sheretz will stay in the Beis HaMikdash a little bit longer. Shelo l'rabo says atoma, again, so as not to increase Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka's main concern is getting it out of the Beis HaMikdash quicker, and Rabbi Yehuda's main concern is getting out of the Beis HaMikdash but making sure specifically they don't make anything else tummy in the process, so because we don't want to increase Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, go find some wooden tongs, and that's what you should do. Now, says the Mishnah a little further. So where exactly are we taking this out of? Can we anywhere in the whole Beis HaMikdash property you take it out on Shabbos or no? Is it specifically certain areas? Says the Mishnah, Mehechan Motzino. So from where in the Beis HaMikdash do we remove it, even though it's a muktzah? First opinion says, Min ha-heichal u-min ha-ulam u-min ha-um-um-i-bein. We can take it out from the heichal, from the sanctuary, from the ulam, which is like the antechamber, and from the area of the chatzer, of the courtyard, that was between the ulam and the mizbeach, that was between the antechamber and the altar. These are the holiest parts of the Beis HaMikdash, so I say you can take it out of those areas. We're not concerned about muktzah on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas' opinion. Rabbi Akiva. Remember, Rabbi Akiva says no. Makom shachayav and al zedono kares val shegaso chatas misham motzino. So we can take the sheretz out on Shabbos, even though it's muktzah. We don't consider it muktzah from any place that when, if a person tummy would walk in, he'd be chayav kares for entering if he did it on purpose, or he'd be chayav a carbon chatas if he did it accidentally. Those are the places that you're allowed to take the sheretz out of on Shabbos. And what are these places? So it's the heichal, it's the ulam, and it's the entire chatzer, the entire courtyard, even beyond the mizbeach. So if you have a dead sheretz anywhere in the courtyard on Shabbos, you can it needs to be removed from that area according to Rabbi Akiva. But if it was outside of the chatzar, then everyone seems to agree that you take it out. That you leave it in until after Shabbos. Now, Ushar kol makamos. All right, any additional place in the Beis HaMikdash if it's found on Shabbos, kofin alav pisachter. You should cover it up with some sort of like a pot or something, and you will leave it until after Shabbos. Take it out after Shabbos. Finally, the Mishnah concludes, and the Masechta concludes with a statement from Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon had two teachings that we learned. One that was written explicitly, and one that was not written in the Mishnah, but that we know to be true. One is an opinion that says that, remember, a few Mishnayos ago we learned about the tying of the string of the instrument. So you allowed to tie up the string of the instrument on Shabbos? And so in the Beis Hamikdash, we said yes, because it's needed for the Avodah, at least according to one opinion. You can tie up a temporary knot because it's only an Eser Derabbanan. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, so that was one opinion of his that was not written explicitly, but we know that to be true. And there was another opinion of his that was written explicitly, and that was all the way back in the fourth chapter of Maseches Erevin, having to do with the case of Tuchum. And if you remember, Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to a Tuchum, you always have like a 15 amma leeway from a city, because they never mark it exactly 2,000 ammas away from the city. They always really mark it 1,985, and there's always like a 15 amma margin of error. And so if you find yourself you're officially beyond the point of Tuchum of the city where they marked it, and you're like an amma, two ammas, even up to 15 ammas away from that Tuchum marker, then you can still consider yourself as part of the city because of the fact that there's always that 15 amma margin of error. If you want to go back, it's Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Aleph, I believe. So says Rabbi Shimon, finally, what's the difference between these two opinions? Why was Rabbi Shimon more machmir when it comes to tying the string of the instrument, but he's so meiko when it comes to the tuchum? So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Makum she'itziru lecha chachamim mishalcha nasnu lecha. When it comes to the case of the tuchum, it's in a place where you're allowed to walk, that they are just giving you what's yours, meaning that anywhere within the tuchum of the town, which is where you're allowed to walk, they're basically just giving you what's yours. That means that the reason why it was permissible is because you never were involved in any prohibition at all. You thought you were, but the truth is there's always the 15 amma margin of error, so they're just basically giving you what's already yours. They're giving you the permissibility that was always permissible to begin with. They're giving you a heter, but you really didn't even need a heter. That's essentially what he's saying. But shalohi tiru l'cha ela mishum shavus. But the rabbis only allowed you to do the string, tying the string. They only allowed you to do that in the Beis Hamikdash because that's an actual prohibition, right? There's a prohibition, an issur of shvus outside of the Beis Hamikdash. You can't tie a temporary knot because you might come to tie a permanent knot when it comes to the instrument. So the rabbis say it's usur everywhere else. But in the Beis Hamikdash, they gave you a special dispensation and said, even though technically outside of the Beis Hamikdash, it's a prohibition of shvus, when the Beis Hamikdash will say that it's going to be permissible. Again, if it was a real d'oraisa, if it was a permanent knot, no good, you can't do it. But since it's only a rabbinic decree not to tie the temporary knot for the instrument, we say in the Beis Hamikdash, it is permissible to do. That brings us to the end of Maseches Erevin, and again, according to our Lima, the end of Seder Moed, Hadron Alach, Maseches Erevin, Hadron Alach, Seder Moed, V'slik Alach, Seder Moed, and God willing, next time we'll begin with Seder Nashim. Everyone should have a beautiful day. After I finished the last recording, I noticed that I incorrectly translated the end, so I just wanted to redo it. My apologies. So let's just do the last line again. Shalohi tiru l'cha ela mishum shavus. Rabbi Shimon says that what's the reason that he rules, why he is machmir, and he says that you can't even tie a knot to tie together the string instrument on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. So again, shalohi tiru l'cha ela mishum shavus. The rabbis say you could violate rabbinic decrees in the Beis HaMikdash, but you can't violate Torah prohibitions in the Beis HaMikdash. They don't have the right to do that. So what's the catch over here? So I mean, Shimon says you can't tie the broken string of a musical instrument when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, even in the Beis HaMikdash, because some knots are going to be biblically prohibited. So therefore, the rabbis say it's still prohibited to tie the string because you may come to violate an Isser D'oraisa of tying the string. So even the rabbinic strings you can't do because maybe you'll come to do the D'oraisa strings. So there, the rabbis were strict. When it comes to Tuchum, they were lenient because there was no prohibition at all. It was totally okay. They're just letting you do it. It was okay. It's a heter in something that was already allowed. When it comes to the string, why can't you even tie the temporary string up? You can't even tie the temporary string up because you may come to tie up the knot in a way that's a Isser D'oraisa, and so therefore that would be totally prohibited. So therefore, even in the Beis HaMikdash, it was prohibited to tie the strings of an instrument to fix it on Shabbos, even the rabbinic ones, because you may come to violate the Isser D'oraisa. That brings us to the end of Maseches Erevin. Hadron Alach Maseches Erevin.